Father, good morning to you. Good morning. Praise the Lord. We love you this morning, Lord. Hallelujah. We say, blessed be thy name. Blessed be the glory of the Lord in our lives. Hallelujah. Hallowed be thy name. We thank you for all your children. Blessings unto them. A good morning to them as well, and a good afternoon to everybody. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit, so marvelous in our lives. And Lord, as always, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. And we ask that that light will shine in our hearts today, every day, when we hear your word. So let it be. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, it's a profound and deep series. We started with what we called a deep dive, understanding God's original purpose for man as a deep dive several weeks ago. And we talked about a lot of things, God's purpose for our lives as well, understanding his voice and so forth. There is this discussion I want to spark today, and you'll get a chance to participate toward the end, you know, and how to bring together an understanding of his voice and his ways, you know, so, you know, to get his leading. He leads us by his voice, he leads us by his word, he leads us by many ways. We've talked about dreams, visions, we've talked about the still small voice, we've talked about circumstances, it could be his ways, we've talked about, you know, even, you know, moving in the prophetic, which means we're always in that realm with him. You know, it's not, you know, we're not going in and out or, you know, waiting to hear something from him. We're always right there, you know, and that's the height of, you know, our experience of living and walking in the spirit. Today, I want to bring an angle about knowing his ways. We've been talking about understanding his voice, discerning his voice through various ways. You know, there was a man in the scriptures that experienced God in many amazing ways. Many, many ways. You might say that perhaps, you know, some of the ways in which God spoke to and dealt with him was extraordinary in the sense that he was unique. His name was Moses. And the Lord spoke to him, you know, and showed him a lot of things. Starting at Exodus chapter 3, he saw the glory of God encapsulated in the burning bush. He even heard the voice of God. And then, you know, God showed him many things, showed him many signs and wonders that he did in the land of Egypt. And all the way to even the crossing of the Red Sea. In my mind, I think that's the singular, most spectacular event, I mean, or miracle, or wonder, that the Lord performed in that Old Testament, the parting of the Red Sea. There's a lot of things, you know, that God did in that Old Testament, but that one, my goodness. And this man had seen it all. Had seen it all. Yet, after all of that, here is what he prayed. And this is where we're going this morning. He prayed and said, "Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight." Now, this is Exodus 33 and verse 13. "If I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, That's right. Show me now thy way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Now let's take a step back and listen to this. Take it from verse 11. The Lord spake to Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. You know, and he experienced that. Thank goodness. And then the Lord, you know, he would come to him like that. Moses would go up into the mount. The Lord would speak to him. He would come and down, go to his camp and everything. And when the Lord was appearing to Moses like that, one of the things the Lord told him, the Lord told him that he knows him by name. And Moses was going to capitalize on that. Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou said unto me, bring these people, bring them up. And thou hast not let me know who you send with me. Yet you have said unto me, I know thee by name. And thou hast found grace in my sight. So now let's see how Moses would cash in on what God said to him. Now God told him, I know thee by name, and you have found grace in my sight. Now he's going to use that very thing to pray. You know, so there's a lesson we can learn there. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in your sight, like you said, then, you know, so now, has God said something to you, either by voice, by his written word, by dream, by vision, by inspiration of the Almighty within your heart, you know, by circumstance, by voice of others, you know, I mean, we've talked about so many different ways, even by angelic visitation, and it's still small voice. You know, somebody else's dream, your dream, your visions. Has God said something to you? And if you say, well, I don't know, God doesn't speak to me any of those ways, then what about the written word of God? You know, that one is for everybody. So nobody has excuse. Have you found something in the scriptures that God said concerning you, a promise? And you use that promise to pray to God. Yeah, this is exactly what Moses is doing here. God already told him something. Now he's going to turn around and challenge God with that thing. So, well, if indeed I have found grace in your sight, like you said so, and if indeed you know my name, like you said, now therefore, show me thy way, that I may know thee. So, you know, are you kidding me? After all that stuff, you're still praying that you may know God? Why, absolutely. See, this is the depth, you know, and knowledge of the revelation of the riches and glory of God. It's unsearchable. You can't know it all. No matter where you are, there's always more to know about the Lord. You know, and that's the challenge for us many times. You know, we think we know something, you know, but, you know, Paul put it out this way. He said, look, if any man thinks he knows anything, well, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2. Whatever you think you know, it's not yet as much as you should know. And I've often said it this way, and I'm sure some of you have heard it many times if you've been in this room for any length of time. The knowledge of God, that I may know thee, is like the waters of the ocean, the deep ocean. And what we have of him, of that knowledge, it's like taking a bucket to that ocean. You can take a bucket, take your fill, and walk away. And the ocean is still the way it was. not even depleted, not even a dent sometimes. You can bring a barrel instead of a bucket. You know, take as much as the barrel can fill. That's still plenty more. In fact, you can bring a tanker and so on and so forth. You know, the revelation of the knowledge of the glory of God. Habakkuk 2:14. Yeah, the waters cover the sea. It's like the waters. And you come and get yours. And so Moses wanted to know the Lord, that I may know you, Lord. Show me your ways. Well, the children of Israel, on the other hand, you know, they really didn't care to know the Lord like that. You know, they only, you know, saw his miracles and his acts. In the book of Psalm 103 and verse 7, we're told that the Lord made known his ways unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. So there's a difference. You know, the children of Israel didn't care to know the Lord like that. So but they saw his acts. And, you know, they saw his, even sometimes, terrible acts. But Moses wanted to know his ways. Show me thy way. And one of the ways that the Lord wanted to reveal himself in the Old Testament to his people was through his voice. He said, obey my voice. Obey my voice. Obey my voice. Obey my voice. He always told them. Because he wanted to speak to them. So we see that the voice of the Lord carry a lot about who God is. You know, if you will obey my voice indeed. So there's a big qualification there. If you will obey my voice indeed. So God put out his voice, and that's what he said. And you keep my covenant, then shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5. You shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. But it starts with obeying his voice. And that was what Moses said. You know, I want to know your ways. Show me thy ways, Lord, that I may know thee. Well, what are the ways that God has shown himself to you? So let's talk about it today. Has he shown himself to you through his word? That's always there and available for everybody. Has he shown himself to you through even the spoken word? It could have come to you in a dream, or does come to you in dreams. It could have come to you in a vision, or does come to you in a vision. You know, maybe one time or more you've experienced even what we might call angelic visitation. There's this internal witness that we talked about. And I want to talk about that a little bit. You know, it's God connecting with you through your spirit. Your spirit. Job chapter 32 and verse 8 says, you know, there is a spirit in man. In fact, what led up to that conversation is that, well, you know, great men are not always wise. Age is not always the thing. But there is a spirit in man. Yes, that spirit. And the inspiration of the Almighty gives you understanding. God can inspire your heart. So in a few minutes, I'm going to let you talk about your favorite ways that the Lord speaks to you and that he connects with you and that you connect with God. I want to talk for myself about the inspiration of the Almighty. That's how I know him. That's how he drops a word and reveals something to me about himself. It's connect. You know, he uses that means quite a bit to tell me something. And it's like, I mean, sometimes it goes deeper than the surface. Because, you know, it can give me a word. And a lot of things open up from that word. I mean, it's like you're peeling something. You peel this off, you peel that off, you peel more and more just appearing, you know, just from one word. And he could just drop it so hard like that. And it's all about him showing you an aspect of himself. And I have learned that what you see in him, what you adore of him, is what you can become. If you love his holiness, you adore his holiness, and you see him in his holiness, well, that's what you can become. If you don't appreciate and adore that attribute of him, you can never become that. Why? Well, because here in 1 John chapter 3, you know, there is a remarkable statement about that, but you have to read between the lines. 1 John chapter 3, and verse 1 says, you know, telling us about what God has conferred and bestowed upon us. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. And we should be called the sons of God. And be a son, well, you got to see certain attributes of your Father in yourself. Hallelujah. My Father is holy. I'm holy. My Father is righteous, so I'm righteous. My Father does, and I do. That's what Jesus used to say. Son can do nothing of himself. Whatever he sees the Father do, that's what he does. My Father does like this, I do the same. You know? So we begin to see, God say, well, behold, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. So when you see yourself today, and you compare yourself with what God intended us to be, and you think we fall short, but think again. The way to get closer to that image, approximate that image more and more, is revealed in this verse. He said, we may not be what we should be yet, but we know, see, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. So in the final analysis, well, we shall be like him. From now until he's appearing, he's changing us from glory to glory, making us to know him so that we can be like him. But listen to the next phrase after that. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for, that is, because we shall see him as he is. Now, so if this scripture is only talking about the appearing of Christ in the catching away of the church, then we've got to wait until that time before we can become like him. But if you see a revelation in this scripture that says, when you see him as he is, in other words, the attribute of him that you see, you know, when you see that, it says, for we see him as he is. It's what you see in him. That means he showed you something about himself. See, we can't see anything unless God shows it to us. But he shows you something about himself. You begin to adore that. And that's what you can become. Because when you see him, you see his holiness, you adore it, you become that. You see his love, you adore that, you become that. And you see anything about him, you see his heart of compassion, you adore him for that. And you can become that. So what we see in him, we see him in us, he shows it to us, really. Show me thy way, that I may know thee. And the way he may show it to you today may be different than the way he showed it to you yesterday. And that's some of the things we've tried to bring out in this series. That just because he's not showing himself to you today as he did yesterday, you may think he's not showing you anything, but he may be showing it himself to you in a different way. By now, I think everybody should understand that. But we all must pray this same prayer to understand his voice for his leading, to understand his ways for his leading. Apostle Paul also, he said the same thing, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. You know, why do these people want to know him more and more? Philippians chapter 3 verse 10. I mean, show me thy glory. Even Moses prayed, if you go back to that, chapter 33 of Exodus. Show me thy glory, Lord. He prayed. And, you know, I've often wondered, I mean, somebody like Moses, why in the world would he pray such a prayer? I mean, he's seen the glory of God. I mean, nobody else could come close to the mount, but he's been there. You know, he's heard the voice. He's seen God, you know, in similitude of sorts. He's heard his voice. God has written something, saw the finger of God writing something on tables of stone. And he came down from there. Even the Bible says that his face was shining so much that people couldn't even look at it. You know, and yet he said this. You know, let's go back and read verse 17 of Exodus 33. The Lord said unto Moses, after that prayer that Moses prayed, I will do also this thing that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight. Now let's see the chain of reaction. First, God said to Moses, I know thee by name, and thou hast found grace in my sight. That's number one. Number two, Moses took that thing that God said about him and used it to pray for more of that thing. You know, now, therefore, Lord, if indeed you know me by name, like you said, and if indeed I found you grace in your sight, like you said, now, therefore, you know, go with us, go with me. And if you go with me, don't even carry me anywhere. And then the Lord come back, and the Lord comes back and tell him again what he said. I will do this thing that you have spoken, for thou hast indeed found grace in my sight, and I do know thee by name. So let's see the sequence of actions. First, you find something in the word of God that he has already said about you. Isn't that the same thing that we've been teaching in the faith specs? Then you use that thing, pray to God. So, Lord, you have said that I am Son of God. You know, if therefore I be the Son of God, make me like a Son of God indeed. You know, let me be like that. You know, let me be like you, think like you, function like you, reason like you, act like you. Huh? And God will come back and say, yeah, I have made you my son. And you will be like me. You know, and I'm empowering you to do that. Yeah. And then there's this communication. And so Moses said, show me thy glory, Lord. Show me thy glory. I mean, let's consider that. You've seen the burning bush. You've seen God like nobody else has seen. You've heard the voice of God like nobody else has heard. You've seen miracles and signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. You've done all these miracles, even the parting of the Red Sea, which has never been done. I mean, Moses was a trailblazer. You know, we have a few trailblazers in that Bible. Moses was one of them. A trailblazer is somebody that done or experienced something that's never happened before. Moses had absolutely seen the glory of God was even on his face. People couldn't even look at it. Yet, in his heart, he wanted to see the glory of God. You know, this is the secret to knowing God. That's it. You know, his secret to knowing God is show me thy way, Lord, that I may know thee. Show me thy glory. Even if he has shown it to you, the secret is continuing in asking him to show it to you. Show me. Show me, Lord, what I've never seen before. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. Call unto me. Now, this man was a prophet. He already knew God. But the Lord said, well, you know, call unto me. I'm going to show you things, great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. So, show me thy ways, Lord, that I may know thee. Well, you got to call upon him, and he will show it to you. And but any time that we think, anyone that thinks he knows anything, well, any time we think we know, and the scripture says we know not as we ought to know. So we ought to always say, Lord, show me thy glory. Show me thy ways that I may know you. And then the Lord will take you. Now, if you're somebody who's been given to dreams, you know, and God speaks to you by dreams or given to visions or whatever way the Lord's been speaking to you. Wow. Now, you know, because in Hebrews chapter 1, it said, God, who at sundry times and in times past, you know, spake to our fathers in diverse manners. Well, there were diverse manners. But even in these last days, he has now changed the way he spoke to us, he's spoken to us by his son. That means he can always change the way he spoke to you. He spoke to you by dream before. I can speak to you a different way. And you can say, Lord, show me. Look, if you've never been in the prophetic, say, you're not used to just flowing like that. You know, I'm not talking about you being a prophet, but I'm talking about you staying connected to God. You're just flowing. That's what the prophetic is. You're flowing. You know, then you can say, Lord, show me that. I want to experience that. Well, you've never seen visions. Remember, young men will see visions. A young man, you know, and if you are less than 85 years old, I think you are still a young man. Because Caleb, at 85 years old, he come out and said, I'm still a young man. I can still go in and out for war like I was when I was 40 years old. 45 years have passed, but I'm still as strong today as I was then. And you know what John said about young men? Ye young men, I write unto you because you are strong. You have overcome the devil. And so if you're a young man, you qualify for visions. Man, woman, pour out my spirit upon all flesh, your sons and your daughters. So you qualify for these things. Now, if you haven't been flowing in that, it's time to say, Lord, show me that aspect of yourself that I may know you and know how you are leading me. Lead me to the rock that is higher than me. I mean, show me something I've never seen before. Do something new in my life, oh Lord. Hallelujah. Dreams are good. We thank God for that. The visions that I've been seeing, they're good. Thank God for. But I've never experienced you, Lord, in this area. Show it to me, Lord, that I may know you even more. Hallelujah. I understand how you're leading me. And sometimes, Lord, I've missed your leading. Because I was looking in one way and not opening up my heart. The story in John chapter 5, the man was looking for his healing from the water and the angel and the stirring of the pool. And he was waiting and waiting. And he was so focused that if I can just be the first to make it in after the angel stirs the pool, then I know I will be healed. That was his faith. And if he was, he would have been. But he wasn't. Somebody else was always ahead of him. A lot of great, great number of important folk there. Everybody had the same mind, you know, the same thing. But see, in his mind, he thought that's the way his healing was coming. He wasn't looking for any other way. This is the way. Well, that may be a problem to many of us when we're waiting for God's leading. We're trying to make important decisions, even daily decisions in our lives. But even more so, important decisions. We may be thinking that this is the way that God must do it. Because that's the way he's done it before. And we've talked about that. And now, throughout this lesson, and now today, I want us to put it all together to know that there is an aspect of him that you have not yet experienced. You may be missing out. You know, and so we got to pray about that here this morning. Lord, show me greater and mighty things, like you said to Jeremiah. That has not Jeremiah. The Lord came to him when he was a little boy. In verse chapter 1. Now we're in chapter 33. After many years, God is still telling him, call unto me and I'll show you things you don't know. Moses, after all that stuff, after all those things, still wanting to know more. I mean, Paul, after all of the things, I mean, miracles, signs and wonders, I mean, you can take, the people were taking handkerchiefs from him. Paul didn't tell them to do it, you know, wasn't making anything out of it, but people were doing it. You know, things were happening. I mean, he's been to the third heavens, all these things and so on and so forth. Yet, show me, Lord, that I may know thee. So this is the prayer that we must pray. After all these lessons, what must come out of it must be a desire to know him more. Maybe experience him in a different aspect. You never remember. Maybe yours has been the prophetic word. A prophetic word also always comes to you. And you know it. And God can give it to you in any situation. You're flowing in it. But maybe you have not learned to see God in circumstances. You're always waiting for that prophetic word. And if you don't get that word, you don't know or believe or understand that God is showing you something. Well, it's time to pray. You got to open your eyes. Jesus said, pray that your eyes be anointed with eyes up. Because you think you know, you think you see, but you are still blind. You still don't see anything. You're still poor, you're still miserable, wretched, and all these things. You know, so when we understand the various ways, or I should say, as we have now understood the various ways that God can speak to us, and maybe even a different way than the ones we have listed, you know, then we ought to pray. Say, Lord, what is it that you are trying to tell me that I'm missing? Maybe I should look and see if God is speaking through the circumstances. I told you a testimony yesterday, how God used circumstances to confirm that we would start the church the way he did. It was in my heart. You know, I was telling the brethren, well, let's start a full-fledged fellowship. Didn't want to call it church at first, you know. And then, but after we went out and did certain things, you know, there was a lot of roadblock here and there. So, well, you got to do this. You got to be registered. You got to have insurance. You got to do this. You got to do that. And God was using those circumstances to speak. He can use circumstances to speak. He can come and tell you point blank and then also confirm it through some of these other ways. You know, so we've got to pray and open up our hearts. Show me, Lord, thy way that I may know thee. You know, speak to me, Lord. It could be any which way that you want to speak to me, that I may know your leading. This is the key thing. We want to be led. As many as are led, Romans 8 and 14, those are the sons of God, those who are led by his spirit. Well, the way Jesus is relating to us now, according to 2 Corinthians 5:16, is no more in the flesh. In the days of Peter, James, John, Andrew, and all these people, Jesus was there with them in the flesh. Today, he's not here with us in the flesh. Say, well, we may have known Jesus in the flesh at one time, but now we know him henceforth no more in the flesh. You know, now we know him in the spirit. Holy Spirit is with us now. And so, you know, we got to experience him in the spirit. Well, we need to understand how that works more and more every day. Yeah, because we can never, you know, I mean, it's a good thing to search out the things of God. In fact, Proverbs 25 and 2 tells us that it is the glory of God to conceal a thing for a while, but it's the honor of kings to search it out. And we must search it out. However, you know, knowing that you can search it out, you can't find it. Listen to this, unless he reveals it to you. Job chapter 11, verse 7. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? Well, yes, if he reveals himself to you. But no, if he doesn't. Because Jesus said it in Matthew 11 and 25. He said, Father, I thank you, you know, because you have hidden these things, you know, from the wise and the prudent, and you reveal them unto babes. So on the one hand, he can hide it. On the other hand, he can reveal it. Even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight. Now, who are we to question something that seems good in God's sight to do? It seems good to hide it from some. It seems good to reveal it to some others. That's up to him. Now, we must do our part. Our part is to seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. You know, that's our part. But you must recognize that you cannot just by searching find him out unless he chooses to reveal himself. No man, Jesus said, knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father but the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. So all of it is on God. And we must pray. Show me thy way, Lord, that I may understand you even more. So this series is to bring us to a place of more deeper and greater understanding. More. You get more. You go deeper. You get greater understanding of the Lord and his ways. Not just his acts now, but his ways. His acts are good too. But his ways is the way of the Lord. Sometimes, you know, God said in Isaiah 55, he said, look, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. See, we got to elevate to his ways. What are you doing down there when I'm up here? The Lord asks. Come up hither. You know. Now, if God has to come down to look for us, it's because we're not in his realm. So he has to come down. We should be in the realm where he is, and God will not have to look for us. Where are you, Adam? It's because Adam was no longer in his realm. When Adam was in his realm, there was no looking. God didn't have to look for him. It's already there. You know, so if God has to come and look for us, you know, something has already gone wrong. We need to be in his realm at all times. And that's flowing in the prophetic. My ways, saith the Lord, are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. Hallelujah. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, even so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are your thoughts. You can't do it. You can't figure that out by yourself by searching. You can search, and we should search. But it's in his hands to reveal to us. And if he does reveal, then let's praise him, because so he pleased the Father to either hide from some and reveal to some. If you're a vessel of mercy to whom he has revealed himself, then let's worship him. And let's come to him for more. Now, God has already promised, you know, there is something, you know, paradoxical about how God does things. You know, he that hath shall be given more. That's how things work in the kingdom. When you have, you get more. If you don't have, even that which you think you have might be taken from you. Now, so what does it mean to have? Well, you have this knowledge of God through revelation of the Spirit of God. You come to him, he'll give you even more. Because your heart now is yearning for more. Deep calls unto deep. Psalm 42, verse 7. As you are yearning for more, you're getting more from the Lord. And he give you more. The one whose heart is flat, that's not reaching out to God, they'll get nothing. You know, the one who gets will get even more. Because he gets it. And then the Lord will give you even more. So we call upon the Lord. And he has promised. Always remember, he promised that he will lead you by his voice. He said, the sheep hear the shepherd because he goes out before them. See, he goes out before them and they follow him. He's already promised that. You know something about sheep? Let me drop this and then I'll open it up for you guys to speak. So there's something about sheep, the sheep that goes astray. The shepherd will find him. Absolutely. Just told the parable. So which of you having 100 sheep and one of them wanders away will not even leave the 99 and go look for the one until he finds it. And when he finds it, put it on his shoulder, bring it back and, you know, celebrate. Cause people to celebrate with him. Well, ladies and gentlemen, a shepherd will find you when you wander away. But I guarantee you that lost sheep will suffer. See? You have to stay with the pack. You're going to suffer if you wander away. You know, you will suffer cold nights, fearful nights from predators and animals that are trying to chase him. You'll be hiding, running, maybe fall into a trap or two, and so on and so forth. The shepherd is going to find you, but he'll going to suffer before he finds you. So stay with the pack. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus said, you know, he gave those parables and there's understanding there. And you stay with the pack. And we're told in the book of Hebrews, you know, forsake not the assembly of one another together. You know, sometimes when people are going through, they have the tendency of forsaking. I don't know why. They say, well, you know, they just keep to themselves. Well, you make yourself an easier target when you do that. You know, the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you, but you might suffer a few bruises. He'll find you and he'll bring you back to the fold, but you'll suffer some cold nights and different things. You know, the sheep, you should have stayed in the barn, you know, and, you know, but wander away and suffer a few things. Shepherd will eventually find him. Best place for the sheep, stay in the pack, follow the shepherd. That's it. Don't wander away, you know, and always listen for that voice. He'll guide you. Praise the Lord. So our prayer today, I'm going to take a moment to pray. Our prayer today is going to be, Lord, I want to understand more of the various ways that you have been speaking to me that I have not even understood. I've seen you by dream. I've heard you by vision. But now I need to know you by the Rhema word. Well, I've known you by the Rhema word, but now I need to know you in the, you know, see you even in circumstances. How you're speaking to me, around, you know, things around me. I never understood the hand of God in those things. Well, open my eyes, Lord, that I may see. On and on and on, we got to pray about these things. And show me thy ways, Lord, even in all these ways that you have explained and taught us, show me the ways that you are trying to communicate to me that I may know you for your leading. See, if God's trying to lead us and communicate with us and we're not connecting, well, we'll suffer a little bit. It will get you eventually, but you'll suffer a loss for some time. So it's imperative for us to know his voice and to follow him. I'm going to pray over the room today. And I pray that God gives you understanding of why this is important. Because great men in the scriptures, that was their prayer. I mean, know thee, even when it looks to us who are looking from the outside, that these people already know God. You know, and the Holy Spirit just brought something to my mind. Abraham, when he was called of God, for many, many years, God called him in Genesis chapter 12, gave him some things in Genesis 13, gave him some promises. You look out, see as far as you can see, I'll give all these things. You've been walking with God, talking and doing. Genesis 15, God came to him with promises of how great God was going to make him. And bless all the nations. They had even told him things that would happen to the children, his seed, many years, 400 years, all these things told him. I mean, for many, many years, close to 20-something years, Abraham had been walking with God. And yet it come to him in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1. After all those times, I am Almighty God, he said, walk before me. And be perfect. Are you kidding? I've been walking before him the whole time, but walk before me still. See, so this is the quest. This is the journey. It's a lifelong journey. Walking with God, which is the title of this platform, is a lifelong journey. You know, from day one, when the Lord revealed himself to you and brought you into the kingdom, we must continue that pursuit. You know, is show me, Lord, your way that I may know you. That's what Enoch was doing. Pressing, I want to know more. I got to get back there. Whatever I was lost, I got to get it. Whereas Adam said, sorry, son, can't get it. So, well, I got to get in there one way or another. And he started to pursue and pursue and pursue. And we must be in the pursuit of the things of God. Show me thy ways, Lord, that I may know you more, for your leading. Because God is leading us by his Spirit now. And we need to know his ways for his leading. Father, I pray for everyone in the house today, and those that have heard this or are hearing it, who have talked about it and emphasized it time and time again now for 2 weeks. And may the Spirit of God reveal to us what it is that you are trying to communicate with us. And no matter what we've known, we need to know even more. If any man thinks he knows not yet, even as he ought to know. So Lord, we're calling upon you, Lord, this morning. Call out to me, said the Lord to Jeremiah, and I will show thee great and mighty things which you have not known yet. The man had already seen great and mighty things. I pray, Lord, that you help us, Lord. We want to be able to discern your voice in all these areas. Your voice, even in the heavens. The heavens declare, you know, the goodness of the Lord. The firmament show his handiwork. You know, God's signature is even in the heavens. He's speaking even through nature. I'll be able to discover these things. I pray, Lord, teach us, show us your way, Lord. And as you reveal any more aspect of yourself to us, show us, Lord, how to love on you, that revelation, but that's what we can become. And the Lord reveals his voice and you love that voice. Well, that voice can develop in you. You also can have Rhema and the voice of God come out of you because you've learned it from him. My Father shows me and I do. Praise the Lord. I pray, Lord, as you reveal your attributes in us, that we will become those attributes, your image and your likeness. Show us more and more of your ways, Lord, that we may even see your ways in your acts. Hallelujah. That we may see the ways of the Lord in the acts of the Lord around us in our daily lives. Even those things we call circumstances, using human words, are not just circumstances to you. They are your acts, and in them are hidden your ways. And may you show those to us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.